I try to. I mean, there are days, isn't it, when it just gets really horrible. But I try to clean up as much as possible because there is a slight feel good from doing it. But it's finding the energy to do it, isn't it?
Yeah, no, for sure there is. Like, I know that when I do it, I'm gonna feel better. But I just, yeah. I'll do it today. You've inspired me. I'll do it today. I feel bad. Hello, it's Jen again. How are you guys doing? I hope you're good. I've got a really good podcast for you today. Aren't you absolutely the luckiest little hamster that there ever was? I spoke to Tanya Moore. You might know Tanya from her appearances on Comedy Central. She was also in The Duchess on Netflix. She's pretty much like just like the biggest superstar ever. She's such an amazing stand-up MC, and her material is brilliant, and she's just such a lovely person, and I respect her a lot, and I sort of look up to her a lot. I think, like, early on when I started doing stand-up, I sort of met Tanya through, like, Funny Women, and I've just always been, like, super inspired by her, like, honesty and confidence, and you'll hear it in the podcast anyway. I think she's brilliant. The sound quality of the podcast this week is a little bit shitty, just because Zoom I had some problems with and it didn't record my backup file, so I had to use the other one. Anyway, you'll hear it. Also, I don't know if Tanya's aware of this, but she lives on a construction site, which isn't something that I was aware of, so throughout the second half of the podcast you can hear like a pneumatic drill. But it's fine, you can just sort of just try to block it out in the same way that you block out the ever looming fear of death of COVID. Just let it become a sort of ambient hum in the background. Thank you to the Patreons who have donated some money this month. We raised about, it was like £75 for the three charities that we're raising money for. So great job, guys. I'll give you all a shout out at the end of the podcast. If you would like to join the Patreon, as always, you can do that. patreon.com/peak_trans. We're raising money for Black Lives Matter UK, Gendered Intelligence, and Rise UK. Anyway, I'll stop waffling on, and I'll catch up with you, as always, at the end of the podcast. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you have a nice time. See you soon.
Yes, so I'm just amazed by... So I've got questions for you, obviously, but
okay, cool.
I'm just amazed by... I feel like the bravery of it.
Yeah.
Because this, for me, it's a big deal if you were born one way and everyone knows you one way, and then for you to just change that... It's not just the change for you. It's like a domino effect, isn't it? It's just a change for everybody. And everybody has to respect it. And, I mean, some don't, but you should respect it. And then you have to get used to, I don't know, maybe name changes, you know, pronoun changes, energy and attitude changes. So for me, it's like a massive deal. I find it brave.
Yeah.
Very, very brave.
Well, thanks for saying that, because, like, well, there's a bit of a stereotype around, like, the term brave, isn't there? Because, like, when Caitlyn Jenner came out and that, everyone was using that phrase, like, oh, she's so stunning and brave, and then that sort of became, like, a bit of a joke. And also, like, I remember that when I first came out, like, which was 10 years ago in Greenwich, I wasn't in Greenwich, but I was at university at Greenwich, and I remember I saw a counsellor, and she was very nice, but she was also like a little, like just a tiny bit patronizing, you know. And she kept she kept saying that as well. She was like, I just think you're so brave. You're so brave. And I was like, yeah, but what do I do? Like, kind of thing. But that being said, I think I do appreciate it when people say it, because I've got this thing, right, where, you know, like trans people, they have a bit of a reputation, or I think it's an unfair reputation, but people say, like, oh, trans people, they're so sensitive, you know, there's like SJWs, they can't take a joke, all this kind of stuff. And I always think, like bitch, have you not seen like what we go through, like
we're not through,
yeah, exactly, we're not scared of change. It's mad, so I appreciate that.
yeah No, definitely. It's massive. But yeah, I have questions. Can I ask them?
Yeah, you can. I mean, maybe should we like space them out? How many questions have you got?
I have four.
Oh, amazing. All right. Well, we'll yeah. space them out. We'll have a little chat in between and then we'll like come back to them if that's all right.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. So first of all, and you may have been asked this before, so I do apologise. So I'm always intrigued by when do you know? Like when is, because I know we all go through different feelings, sexual feelings, you know, all these different feelings, but when do you know for sure?
Yeah. What's the moment when you sort of like put all the pieces together and figure out that's what you're going to do?
Yeah, when are you like, oh shit, wait, hold on. That's what the feeling is. Yeah.
Well, I can only speak for me, but like it was a slow process, but in terms of actually getting to the point of actually making the decision to change my life, but in terms of actually knowing that something was up and that I was gonna do something about it was like well early. Like I can't even remember, like it was so early that this is the thing, right? People see trans people sometimes as like you were one way and then you changed and now you're another way, which I get because that's the external point of view on it, right? But from an internal point of view, a lot of trans people, like, they haven't, the way they feel hasn't changed, you know, like the way they feel has been constant since they can remember, usually, or at least that's what it was for me. And it's like, yeah, like when I was a kid, I didn't have the vocabulary to like know what it was, and I did, it's not like I knew how to go about it, but I guess like for me, like one of the early moments is like seeing some sort of representation on TV, as bad as it was or whatever, whether it was like whether it was someone on Jerry Springer or whether it was but to be fair to like those people on Jerry Springer, like I needed them, you know, like because I, as bad as it was, I was like, oh, that's what I am. And then I was like, in my head, I was like, oh, I can do that if I want to. And then in my head, I was like, well, I can see that society kind of doesn't like me if I do that. But then I was like, but I'm still going to do it. So it was just like a long process of sort of like building myself up to do it, sort of thing.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, from a very early age, I think. And it's like, I get why people are confused by it, because it's a hard thing to verbalize. It's hard to verbalize when you're that age. And that's why a lot of trans people say things like, oh, you know, I feel like I'm in the wrong body or this and that. Because they're trying to make sense of something that's hard to articulate, you know? And I don't think that's actually necessarily the truth of it, but I think that's sort of just the easiest way to explain it.
Yeah.
Have you ever had something in your life that, like, you, like, regardless of what it is, but just, like, it feels inevitable, like, you know you've got to, like, whether it's, like, a breakup or, like, anything like that, like, you know that you've got to do it, and it sometimes just takes a really long time to get there, right?
Yeah, definitely, and... I mean, I can imagine it's on different scales, but whenever I'm in those positions, I always feel like I'm suffocating.
Yeah.
And I can't really say what I'm wanting to say. It's normally because I'm trying to use the air to breathe. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it becomes really confusing. And then in that confusion, you get anxiety, then you get mad at yourself, then you look after yourself, then you get mad at that. And it's just an ongoing... And the hole just gets tighter and tighter. So I just feel like, I don't think I understand, but I understand the feeling of not knowing how to express what you're feeling.
I mean, like, I've sort of, like, become less comfortable even with the term, like, transition, right? Because although, like, I understand that it's something that at one point in my life I did make a conscious decision to start and do, you know, the way I think about myself isn't really like that. You know, I feel like I've always been changing, like, throughout my life, and like do you not feel like that? Like, I always wonder, like, what sort of, like, cisgender people or whatever feel like. Do you not feel like you're a different person now than what you were 5 years ago?
I feel like I've matured, but the core of me is still the same. So my friends will say I'm still, you know, like, the way I see life, the way I approach life, who I am as a person is still the same. But obviously, I've matured, so I'll be better at handling situations, maybe. Or just, you know, my delivery with some people, maybe. I'll be more aware, maybe. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
But see, that's how I kind of feel as well, though. Because, like...
Okay.
So when I first came out... because it's like, again, it's external, isn't it? It's like, it's a shock to people, you know? It's like, you're saying like, oh, I'm gonna look this way now. And sometimes when trans people come out, you know, they're a little bit defensive because you know, they feel vulnerable in that. So yeah. they're a bit like, they get a bit upset when they like get misgendered and things like that.
Yeah.
But ultimately, like, despite all of those like external changes, I remember one of the things I found frustrating is that I was, you know, one of the things I was trying to appeal to some of my friends about was like, no, like, I am still the same person. I'm just like more of that person now. Like, it's kind of hard to explain.
I get it, because the realization of needing to, well, I feel like you confirming that this is what the problem has been is kind of like shackles off your back, really. So you get to now be who you really wanted to be, or who you really are, in its entirety, instead of being half of that because you're not really sure of what's going on yet. Definitely get that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, like, when I first started transitioning, it was in London. Like, I started in when I was at uni and that. So I was still living at home and stuff. And I don't know, like, have you noticed, because one of the things in the media that gets talked about a lot is like, oh, you know, trans people are on the rise, they're everywhere, whatever. But the thing is, that's not really ever been my experience. And especially when I started transitioning, I legitimately was the only trans person that I knew. And there were none in my, like, in South London. Yeah, not that I knew of. I mean, I'm sure there were, but I didn't see them, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you said you were on that panel and you met that trans person, was that the earliest sort of, like, example you can think of seeing a trans person or meeting?
That was my earliest person of having conversations with one. So I'd seen them before. I'd been around them in some spaces before. But I hadn't actually had a conversation with one. I hadn't actually been introduced to or met one before. I don't even like saying that, met one. Like, they're just... it feels weird to say.
I know,
It's just really weird.
But don't worry, you've got a pass. You've got a pass. You can...
It's really weird, but I don't know. I'd rather, like, how do you... Because that's how I would say it if I was talking about anybody, like, that walked into the room, boys. I never really met one of them like that before.
Well, the thing is, like, we're talking about, like, trans people specifically, so, like...
Yeah.
It makes sense that you're...
It feels really weird.
If we were having a conversation about like anything else, you know, if we were having a conversation about like comedy, for example, and you were just like, oh yeah, I've met one, like there was one of them over there, like then it would work. But we're talking about trans people, so it makes sense.
I was saying it and I was like, oh god, that sounds horrible. that was my first time I had a conversation. But I feel like I'm coming from being in drama all my life and being in the creative arts, I've been around, you know, people. I feel like I've watched them hide themselves.
Yeah.
There's similarities, I believe, in it's not all the same, obviously, but there's similarities in being black and being trans, in being othered, in being judged based upon your appearance, not upon anything else. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, and so there's some things when you talk, I'm like, yeah, I get that.
Well,
kind of what I have to go through anyway, any day anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Let's talk about that then, because like you are my first black guest. Congratulations.
Oh, hello. Come on, medals.
But you're not the only one. I just want to preface that. but that's an interesting topic, right? Because there is obviously a crossover there, and it's not exactly the same. And you know, it's sometimes it's dangerous to compare things like that because people can get emotional
sensitive. Yeah, and that's why it's not the same. But I think there's similarities in the being othered.
For sure.
In the being judged, I can't even speak, but they're judging me already. I just walked into the room, judgment. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Some rooms I walk into, they want me to walk straight back out. Like, I get that that's what a trans person would go through as well, you know? So,
yeah, because it is a visual thing. Like, there is a visual element to it, right? And it comes with a whole base of expectations about you as a person and your character, you know?
And what they've seen in the media and all that kind of stuff, it's all based on that rubbish, so...
Exactly. Yeah. Like, for example, people think that I'm going to be hypersensitive about shit, and like I think you know that I'm like not at all, like,
exactly,
like almost to a fault. So tell me a little bit about your experience with that then, because like obviously there are this is why people are so sort of like adamant, and rightly so, to say that, like, you know, we talk a lot about trans issues, and people talk about like race issues as well, but then there are like trans women of colour, for example, who don't get a good amount of representation but are actually like at highest at risk from prejudice. So
literally,
it's true. And again, like, again, I don't know that many, and particularly in terms of comedy, right, because that's like what we both do. It's like, I always talk about how I don't see many trans people in comedy. Like, there are a few, but there aren't really many in like positions of comedy. And then also the same, like, with the racial element, you know, that there are a lot of things at the moment trying to draw attention to the fact that like lineups on television are like predominantly white, and same with gigs, you know, like that Twitter account, That's a White Lineup and stuff, which is really, have you seen that?
Yeah, I think it's good.
I love the comments on some of them, you know, because sometimes when people get called out, they get really defensive and they start to try and explain why, and it's just, it never looks good. But it's great.
It's the
worst,
because it's like, if you really wanted to stand up for the cause, you'd get there and be like, well, I'm going to stand back so somebody else could have it, but you'll never do that. So
yeah,
just
exactly,
shut up.
But so what I'm saying is, like, I very rarely ever see, for example, like, a black trans woman like doing comedy, or just generally in my day-to-day life, and I know that exists, so it's very odd to me. And in terms of comedy as well, like, I frequently feel like, although there are some, there are other trans comedians, but so often when I'm doing stand-up, I feel like I am the only trans person, not just on the lineup, but in the room. And I've done LGBT nights relatively recently, and I've asked if there's any trans people in the room, and there just aren't. Do you have like any kind of like similar experience with comedy? Because I know that you do both, like, the sort of the black clubs and the sort of like mainstream rooms, right?
Yeah, I mean, there are certain areas I go to where I know I'm going to be the museum piece. Everyone's just going to stare. They're not going to want to talk to me. They just want to stare and talk about me. Yeah, basically. Kent, Bath.
Yeah. Bath. I've never been to Bath. Is it not good for that kind of thing?
Do you know what it is? Bath, I think they think they're more upper class than they actually are. And there's a turn your nose upness at it. I don't have terrible times in Bath. I just have way better times everywhere else.
Yeah.
And they're not really loud laughers. So there's no real compensation for being in this energy. There's no real... Do you know what I mean? I think... A lot of them, you know, you can visibly see them, and you probably experience this, you can visibly see them tighten up sometimes just because I've walked onto the stage. And sometimes some of them take a minute to melt and be like, oh, she's normal, which is really weird. And some of them just stay tense throughout the whole set, right?
Yeah.
It's just a thing. And it's similar to what we were just talking about. So do you feel the need to always talk about being trans? Like, so for example, you know, like I was just saying, I don't always talk about just being black, or just, there's so many different things to Jen than being trans. So do you feel the need to always make sure you're putting that in the forefront of whatever you do because you've experienced it?
Not anymore, really. There was definitely as I said, there was a point when I was doing that, but no, like, I've always done material that isn't about it. And more so now, I have tried, particularly when we were doing comedy in the real world, I was really trying to just talk about my day and things like that you're describing. The other thing is, though, at the moment, though, like, because of the way that trans issues are going in this country, I feel like they are, like, particularly legally and just general consensus, I do feel like they are going backwards. So I kind of wanted to... do like comment on it, and it's very difficult to comment on it without saying that you are trans, for example. It's possible.
But
now when I do, you know, it doesn't feel like what you were describing earlier. It doesn't feel like an apologetic thing. It's just like more of a matter of fact thing. But yeah, like, I'm happy to talk about other things now, and I enjoy it. Just for the record, I enjoy it way more, because being trans is like, it's such a, you're constantly thinking about it, you're constantly thinking about your gender, you're constantly thinking about how you present, you're constantly, and it's like, yeah, to bring that into something that's supposed to be fun and joyous and like observational and relatable, it's like, it's kind of, it's not really my ideal situation. So yeah, I'm definitely moving away from it, I think.
Yeah, and I ask that because I find that anybody who has what they perceive to be a thing, heart, like it's always at the forefront. So, you know, lesbians will go on and be doing lesbian front and yeah. stuff, and bisexuals will do, you know what I mean? Like, everyone's got their thing, and then it's the thing they lead with. I'm deaf, let me show you how.
Yeah.
It's like, it's very, and my only thing when I see that stuff is like, there's so much more to you than just being that one thing.
100%. Like, yeah.
Give me more than just, because now if I treat you like somebody who's just that thing, you're going to be really offended.
Yeah.
But that's what you've just sold to me. That thing. Do you know what I mean? So I always like question it when I see it. Like, is it a thing that I'm missing, or am I right to feel like, yeah, mention it, but it's not all of you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, I get you. I think one problem is that, like, maybe the way that, like you just said, you were going to ask me about the industry. I don't know if it was to do with this, but maybe the way that it's structured is kind of like conducive to encourage you to kind of find like what your thing is, and then play on that thing, because it's like, oh, you know, everyone wants a series, you know, everyone wants like a thing. And it's like, well, like what I'm doing now, right? I mean, I am doing this podcast because I care about these issues, and it's like something that I genuinely find interesting, but I've got like 20 other podcast ideas that like I'm trying to plan that like are not anything to do with this, you know. But at the same time, I know this is like this. I mean, doing this podcast, like, I've already got a little bit of like media attention from it and shit. And
nice.
But yeah, exactly. Because there's an element of like, it is a bit cynical, but there is definitely that element of like, yeah, I know what is gonna be interesting to people, right?
And I don't know, maybe because, you know, the way I see life, I pride myself on not being one thing. So I hope that when I go on stage, people take away a few things from me and not just maybe my name spelled differently. Do you know what I mean? Because I know I talk about that as well, because it is something I have that's different. So it is something that I have to bring up. But I feel like once I get over that bit quickly, we move on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Another thing about you is that, just to say, this is like unrelated, but your voice, like, you sound so much like my cousin. It's so weird.
Really? Yeah. I want to hear your cousin
you
now. Sound,
like, you've got this particular voice that, like, I recognise in my family and stuff. It's like, it is that South London voice. It is, like, it's a little bit raspy. It's a little bit raspy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, yeah? I've always tried to verbalise this to people. There's this very specific, like, female voice. It's a bit raspy. It's like South London-y sounding. It's like, yeah, we're going down the Triangle Club. We're going to have a laugh. Like, it's like, I can't. I don't know how to describe it.
And that's why when you said I'm from Catford, I'm like, no, why do you sound like that? Why don't you sound but like do this? In my head, I was like, wait, hold on.
See, this is interesting, right? Because this is about identity, right? What do you mean? I don't think I sound like posh. Like, I have a bit of a South London accent, I think. I don't, and maybe now I'm subconsciously playing it up. What? I do.
Jen, for all the reasons why I love you, it is not your South London voice.
Well, see, now I feel so self-conscious because, like, I want you to know, like, I just want you to know. I'm going to be like, oh, by the way, my dad's an electrician, you know, like
No. First of all, South London, dads, yeah. Let's...
All right, you win, whatever.
Stop being silly. All right, say the world is full of guys like you. Say it again.
The world is full of guys like you.
Right, you pronounced almost every letter, babes.
Yeah.
we don't do that.
Maybe it's because I lived in Brighton for a bit.
And also, we... Oh, yeah, there you go. See, now I would have... I can hear Seaside more than I can hear...
Yeah.
Morley's and Ladbrokes.
Well, don't come at me about Morley's, all right? I might be a vegetarian now, but when I was at... I went to Lewisham College, and when I was at Lewisham... Yeah.
Oh, you survived Lewisham... I'm just out here taking hits.
I survived all the worst schools, don't get me wrong. but
you deserve this voice.
Exactly. I fought for this voice. But the Morley's on Lewisham Road, like, that was like my lunchtime home.
That's one of the best.
It's so good. Yeah, I really miss Morley's, actually. Like, that's one of the main things as a vegetarian that I miss.
Every now and again, just go and get some chips.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, the chips are. Did you have another question for me?
I do have another question for you. Okay, so I want to know, how do you feel in the industry as a trans person. And when I say that, not so much looking at the lack of representation. I mean, like, when you walk into a room, when you get booked for a gig, like, when you're on stage, how do you feel?
I personally don't really, at the moment, think about it that much. But I do jump into, like, you know, every now and then there are weird scenarios where it does come up, like, even just, like, separate of me, you know, like, I might not be talking about it, I might not be acknowledging it, but it just does, you know, people ask questions, which is fine, but also, like, people make comments, you know, audience members make comments. It's something very real that I have experienced. It's like, it,
yeah,
this is what I mean. It's like, although when I say elephant in the room, I mean, like, even if I'm trying to avoid it, it just seems to come back to me. Like, it's just something that comes up all the time, like, all the time, like, this happens all the time. Like, I and these are acts that I love. Like, I love these people. Like, they're nice people. I've got no problem with them. I think they're funny comedians, etc., blah blah blah. But it happens quite often where, like, an act will come up to me after a show and just, like, give me, like, all of the, you know, they'll have more questions for me. They'll be like, I didn't know you were trans. They'll be like, what's your surgical status? Like, what does this mean?
Wow.
Honestly, like, you get it all the time. Like, it's people.
So rude.
But also because it's, like, their opportunity, you know, like, they wanted to ask these questions, but now, and they see there's someone who's, like, a comedian, so it's like, oh, they're going to be, but it is quite rude. Yeah, it does come across sometimes as, like, well, you saw my set. I didn't really talk about those things. So, like, I'm just trying to, like, have a drink, you know. But it's like,
oh,
it does happen. God. And it happens with audience members as well, which I'm a bit more forgiving on, but I don't know, like, it's, yeah, it's, that's why it's hard. I mean, you know, we were saying earlier about you're having, like, your thing as well, right? Like
yeah,
trying to get sketches made, trying to write things and get things sent by your agent to people and stuff, and it's like, you do get the impression sometimes that, like, yeah, you know, your transness is, like, that's the thing, that's what we're selling.
That's I get that sometimes as well. I'm like, it's just, if I was a white girl, I would have got that job so quickly. I have those moments as well, because some people do, you know, things that I find to be disrespectful, and something as simple as, if you're sending me an email, spelling my name wrong is disrespectful.
Yeah,
it is. If you communicate with me on any of my social media, spelling my name wrong is lazy. You had to look for me, so you saw my name before you started to type it. It's like sheer laziness not to just check if you don't know. Why would you think it okay to just send whatever you want?
Yeah. Sorry,
so
I'm just
rude.
I'm just checking my notes just to make sure that I've got it spelled right. One sec.
That's
I have. I'm just kidding.
That's so funny. But it is, it's like, there's certain things that I think, you know, we should all be held accountable for.
Yeah.
And I think those are some of the things. If you're going to continue to be shitty and do what you think you want to do, then don't expect me to respond at all, really.
Yeah.
Or don't expect to like my response if I do respond. Do you know what I mean? And that's a small example, but I do believe that these things are, the small things are the things that add up to the big things sometimes. Like, if you're going to book me for a gig and use a photo that's 9 years old, you know I haven't had hair for how many years? Why does your photo have hair, sir?
That drives me nuts, to be honest with you, because, like, I got a nose job recently, and, like, I don't want you using my old photo anymore. That's done now. Like,
but also, I paid for new ones. Why is it, like, what?
Yeah.
You know what we go through, especially if you're in the industry. You yourself know what we go through. So why would you then be the person inflicting the same headache?
It's like you said, though, it's laziness, isn't it? It's like people would much rather just, like, lift a photo from your, like, Twitter or whatever than.
But if I was somebody else, they wouldn't. They would spend the extra time doing it.
Yeah, no,
do you see
right.
what I mean? So it's like, you're disrespecting me purely based upon a prejudice. I'm not going to be nice to you now. Go away.
And I think, I agree with you, right? I think it's important. I think there's only so much that you can put up with certain stuff. And I think, although, like I've certainly had this where, like, in my mind, like, I run the risk. Like, I think, like, oh, should I really speak plainly to this person? Because, like, I am the only trans person in the vicinity. And I always think, like, well, maybe I should try to just be the patient one, try to be, like, the good example or whatever. But at the same time, there's only so much you can do that. And I do respect just like speaking plainly and just saying like, no, that's not on or whatever. I think that's great, you know.
Yeah.
And I think we should,
hold ourselves accountable as well, you know, for the small things, so we can help fight the big things as well. But if we are allowing, you know, little transgressions to happen in front of us daily and then going out to a protest, it doesn't make any sense. We have to end it everywhere.
Yeah, you're 100% right. That's,
do you know what I mean?
So
there's no
good
point in going to the office and allowing them to make jokes about you, but then when you leave the office, you go to protest. No.
Yeah.
Stop them at the office as well.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's one of those things that, like, people talk about as well when it comes to, like, your family and stuff, right?
Mm.
Or, like, you know, like, poisonous opinions within your own sort of, like, circle of friends and stuff. Like, if you're not calling that stuff out, then what are you really doing, sort of thing?
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely. I've lost friends too, and I use the term friends loosely in that sentence, but I've lost friends to ignorant mindsets. I just can't deal with it. I just cannot. You can't grow, you can't be, you can't have a happy life if you hate people or things that, first of all, you have no clue about. Have you even done any research or been around any one of them for you to even be talking like that in the first place? Do you know? It's like people who are anti, you know, anyone LGBTQI, 9 times out of 10, they haven't even been around anybody. So what do you hate?
Yeah, you're right about that. Like, you know, like,
you're a weirdo.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but like the critical movement and stuff that's like really building up at the moment. They frequent, like, so for example, there's an organization called the LGB Alliance, right? And they exist literally just to exclude the T, right? They're like, no, we're the LGB Alliance. Like, we're just, we all we care about is lesbian, gay, and bisexual. And what's interesting about them is the way they talk about like the fact that they think that lesbian, gay, and bisexual rights are being stifled by trans rights, and they kind of see us as like a inconvenience.
Another.
Yeah. But the irony of that is, like, I don't think any of these people have ever been in a gay club in their life, right? Because like the way from my perception of it is like I've always seen myself as a part of that community, despite the differences. Like, I just feel like we're stronger together, and I feel that way about, you know, most like minority groups. Do you know what I mean? Like I just think that, yeah, like we have differences, we have like cultural differences or whatever, but at our hearts, like we're still all fighting kind of like for the same sort of thing, which is a a liberal utopia where no one is allowed to say anything.
Yeah, basically. Yeah,
the agenda,
basically.
That's what I'm going for.
Yeah. I just find it's so right. It's, those people are the people that have the most to say, the ones with the least amount of knowledge.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, you know, you said that you did, you know, you said you did a pride gig, you did like a bi pride thing. Are you bisexual yourself?
Yeah. I'm bisexual.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes.
Yeah, me too. I just wondering, because obviously that is, you know, you're in the acronym, so I...
Yes. I'm in there. That was a great day. It was the first one, but obviously they hadn't had another one because Corona.
Yeah.
But hopefully when we're allowed back out, we get to have Bi Pride number 2. Mm. I do think each Pride should have their own day, but I do like the idea of us all coming together and just being able to have one Pride.
Yeah, there's no reason why people can't do their own thing, you know, that's absolutely fine. But
I mean, everyone should have their moment to shine, I think. So, yeah, there should be a day where we celebrate trans and then we celebrate the gays and then we celebrate the what I mean?
100%.
But then we all come together on one day as well and be like, oh, hey, bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone have a drink.
Exactly.
It's really weird sometimes, Vu, when I hear you speak, because obviously I've only met you in the last few years, but I see you as quite a confident person. Again, I don't want to be that person and be like, oh my God, you're so brave. But I attach that to you stepping out and saying, well, this is who I am, guys. Hi. Mm. So I've always seen that as very confident.
Yeah.
Even though in yourself you might be dealing with other insecurities, I've always seen you as confident.
Yeah. Well...
So, when you say, you know, I didn't really have much confidence, I'm like, bitch, when?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I didn't. I mean, I didn't. You know, like, it's...
Like, I believe you, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But I'm like, I've only ever received you this way. So I'm like, yeah, you're confident, definitely.
Well, I mean, I don't know how you feel about this, but for me, like, a big part of confidence is, like, it starts off as posturing for me. And then, like, it evolves into actual legitimate confidence. But the thing is, pre-transition, you know, like that's all I was thinking about was that. And I feel like it has been, and I feel like a lot of trans people experience this as well. It's like the anxiety of it and the obsession of it and the trauma of actually doing it and feeling like you're going to lose family members and friends. And sometimes actually you do. And not to scare anybody, but like it is something that is like possible to happen. Because of all that, I feel like it kind of stunted my growth a little bit, like my emotional maturity or like my sort of like ability to progress in life. Like it feels like I was on pause almost, you know what I mean? And then like, over the past 10 years, I just feel like I've had a lot of catching up to do. And that's why I go quite hard on things. Like I am a bit of a workaholic and I do put in a lot of effort and it's overcompensation. And that's why it's like, I feel like time is running out and I'm like, no, I have to like get A, B and C done now. So maybe that's why I seem more confident than I am, because like I'm just, and I am confident now, but you know, I'm not above like having a moment, you know.
Girl, none of us are, okay? Yeah. I have them often. You just ask Hannah. Yeah. Hannah's got to talk me off a ledge probably every 2 months.
Yeah, well, that's reassuring to know.
I'm like, Hannah, I've had enough. I can't be black, a woman, and trying to be a fucking actor. It's too much.
Well, you know, that's reassuring to hear, because from my point of view, you're someone who like seems to be absolutely smashing it at the moment, and it's so lovely to see. You know, you're doing so well. And,
thank you.
Yeah. So how does that feel?
I don't think I'm smashing it.
Oh, well.
I think...
Tell me.
I think because I know how many rejections come before the S comes.
Yeah.
I think it's... for me, it's like, oh, finally, something gave... You know, something lit up. So...
Yeah.
For me, it feels like it's few and far between.
Sure.
And maybe I'm over ambitious, I don't know, but this is not the rating which I want it to be. So for me, I'm like, I still got work to do.
I don't think you're over ambitious. So, I think, like... You deserve those things, so like, yeah,
thank you.
you'll get that.
Yeah, I think I still got work to do. I think so too, but for the career that I really want to have, I think I'm a small ways off yet. No, I said that, it didn't feel right. I think I'm there. I'm just waiting for someone to give me that one role that's going to make everyone be like, oh, there she is.
Yeah, you're waiting for people to catch up and like get on board.
Yeah, basically. Oh, once I get that one role and everyone's like, oh, that's what she can do.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I'll get the other offers. But someone's got to take that leap for me or with me. So whenever that person arrives, I will smash the shit out of that job and then get the others. Yeah, that's the plan.
I believe in you. It's going to happen.
That's the plan. Yeah. Thank you. I've got one last question for you, darling.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
I left it to the end, and it's I just want to know for myself, what's like one of the worst things someone can do or say to a trans person, just in like a social setting? Like outside of the, oh my God, have you had the surgery yet? That's no one's business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
All right. Well, I'll tell you one thing that particularly annoys me. And again, it's different for lots of people. But one thing that it's kind of like a double-edged sword, but it annoys me because it like on a much deeper level, like it suggests something else. It's like, the thing that I hate, and I get this a lot, I get this from a lot of like straight white women, and it's that thing of like, oh, they're trying to be nice, right? But it's like, oh babe, like you just look, I can't believe it, like you, it's that thing where they say like, you look better than I do, or they say like you wear that better than me, or something like that, that really accentuates like
like it's odd.
It frames you, like it really frames you as not being a person. It frames you more as being like a female impersonator.
That's so interesting.
It's like they think they're talking to like a drag queen, and it's like, oh, I'm just doing this. It's like, I'm not living this. I'm just putting this on, and I'm convincing people. It's like that. And I say it's double-edged, right? Because there's always a part of a trans woman's mind that is like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
It's like, yay, like I'm achieving what I want to, but at the same token, it's like, yeah, but why would you assume that I wouldn't
wear it better than you?
It's not just about wearing it, it's like sometimes it's directly about your actual appearance as a person, you know, or about your that whole thing of like, wow, I would have never have known. Like, it's like, yeah, you would never have known because I've been living this for like years and years. So that's the thing that stresses
that's
me
interesting.
Out
interesting. Okay, so off the back of that, I would say, so I go to like, me and my friends, we very much enjoy prides, and I've gone to London and Brighton with them a fair few times, and unfortunately because of work I've missed out on like the Manchesters and stuff, but when I am not working, wherever they are, I will go with them because we love a pride. But I always obviously see trans women at pride, and my response would be, oh my god, you look amazing. Is that offensive?
No, I don't think that's offensive. I think it just depends on the context, you know, like everybody, like I think people like to hear that they look nice, you know, trans.
Okay.
This is why it's so complicated, right? Because even when I get those kind of the comments I was talking about, I find it difficult to kind of speak out against it because, as I said, one, it is like a backhanded compliment, and two, like I know they're just trying to be nice in their own kind of stupid way, but but what you're talking about, like, I think it just totally depends on the context, you know. If you're at Pride and people are like being exhibitionist and are happy and like, you know, it's like just telling someone they look nice is not,
they're comfortable.
Not a sin.
I'm not saying it because it's the wording for me, because when you said you wear it better than me, I definitely understand that wording. I wouldn't say better than me, I would just say you are wearing that.
Yeah,
and just leave it there. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's. I honestly think that's fine. I do think that is the semantic difference. It's like.
Yeah.
It's. I don't want people to feel scared to like compliment trans women, because the thing is, we don't get it a lot. Do you know what I mean? Like people are scared to speak around us sometimes. Like sometimes people like don't know what to say, and this is one real problem, is that people think they can't ask us questions or whatever.
But
it's just about treating us like human beings. That's all I care about, is just being treated like a human being.
Ask it how you would ask anyone else, because that's the whole point, right?
Exactly. Yeah. All right, likewise, I've got a question for you then.
Go.
What's the same question to you, but as a black woman?
I mean, I don't have hair, so nobody asks to touch that anymore. I don't know. Is there a question? I don't think it's like that. Is there a question? I think maybe if we're having... So, it's not questions. I think I'm irritated by when we're having conversations surrounding race. I'm irritated by the shock and awe when we're describing things that are happening. And I'm irritated by it because you've all got social media.
Yeah.
You all know what's going on. So, by me saying it now, repeating it again, and you pretending not to know what's going on, it's just confirmation that you're doing head in sand. Mm,
you mean like the ignorance of the situation, like of prejudice?
You're willfully ignorant at this point. Like, you know, I was on set recently and we were having a conversation, and there was somebody who was shocked that black women are 5 times more likely to be in a bad position in hospital. And I'm like, so we went through all of 2020 for what? Where were you?
Yeah.
What did you miss? Not after 2020, lady. You're willfully ignoring what's going on. Because you're on Twitter all the time.
Yeah, if you have a Twitter account and you don't see what's going on, then you must just be like, I don't know who you're following.
You're actually just following Piers Morgan, that's it.
Yeah, imagine, oh God.
Could you just... It's just you, Piers Morgan and Prince Andrew. Literally, you three just having a good old fucking
racist
time.
What did Prince Andrew do?
I just don't know. It just appears.
I was just joking. I love Prince Andrew. Oh, Tanya, I'm probably going to leave then, unless there's anything else that you want to ask me. But I had a lovely time talking
to you.
I've really enjoyed this.
Good. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for asking me to do it. I've really enjoyed this.
Oh, no, you're welcome. I really appreciate you doing it. I've been, you know, it's one of those lovely things about lockdown, actually. Like, it's one of the rare nice things is that I think... Whereas in the past, maybe I would have been a bit hesitant to ask certain people that I really like to like do a podcast because it just felt like a lot of effort and like, you know, I'm not offering money or anything like that. Sorry, I don't know if you knew that.
No,
sorry.
I agree. Podcast is done, by the way, you're not getting paid.
Yeah, yeah. But no, it's been really nice to sit down with people I only kind of like have had short conversations with and actually have a proper chat and like get to know them and stuff a little bit better. And hopefully next time I see you in person, like, we'll be able to, like, actually hang out a little bit.
Yes, let's go. I would love to go for a drink, even though you're no longer in Catford.
Where are we going to go? Are we going to go down venue?
I've never been in there. Can you believe? I was raised down the road. I've never been in the venue.
Well, you're definitely not one of my cousins then, because they're always...
Yeah. Just sound like...
Well then, there you have it. There was our chat. I hope you enjoyed it. I really did. God, I'm sounding so professional now. I can't believe it. I'm not just a podcaster. I'm a radio voice. anyway, yeah, I hope you enjoyed it. Do you know what one of the most interesting parts of it for me was? It was this idea that Tanya thought that I was much posher than I am. I don't think I have a very posh accent, but obviously Tanya disagrees, and who am I to argue with a confident woman like her? Maybe it's just in comparison, you know, because she sounds common as muck. But yeah, no, I am. I don't know why I have to validate this, but I was born and raised in Catford Town. So I can handle myself. I will headbutt you if you come at me. Just a warning. I look pretty, but I can throw these hands. Right, what I'm going to do now is something that I haven't done yet, but I should have, which is I'm going to give a shout out to the patrons, Patreons. These are all the people that donated to the Patreon this month, and a couple of new ones as well. I'm impressed. We've got quite a few people now. We've got 15. So thank you to Siobhan Doyle. Thank you to Mike Sheldon. Thank you to River Shaw. Thank you to Lanus, Alice Lee, Lisa Flynn, Amber Mum, Colin H, Jem, Kazi Rahman, Sally Hendergate. Sorry, I could read it. It's just because the name is so long that you have to click it to see the whole name. Alexandra Lilly, Joseph, John McCullum, and Steglegs, or Steglegs, whatever. Thanks for being a part of the team. It's great to have you. Just other news, just general sort of boring admin-y stuff. I mean, it's boring for you, but not for me. I don't know if I mentioned this. I've mentioned it 1,000 times on Twitter, but I was in the New York Times. This is mad. It's kind of crazy. I was in the New York Times. There's a nice piece about me in the New York Times. Did I mention that I was in the New York Times? If you want to read the article, go to nytimes.com, and it's called Britain's Transgender Stand-Ups Find Comedy in a Hostile Climate. They're talking about me. It's crazy. Make sure you follow Tanya on Twitter. That's at Tanya Moore. And make sure you spell it right. It's TanyaMoore. And her website is tanyamoore.co.uk. I forgot to mention she was also in Baymus, which is really, really good. I'm going to go now because I've been slaving away trying to make this podcast sound listenable for a really long time, but there's a little bonus clip of me and Tanya talking about something silly at the end, so bye guys.
So we've been here since 97.
Yeah.
And I grew up in New Cross.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
We grew up pretty near each other, really, like in the scheme.
Where are you?
Oh, well, I'm from South London, so it wasn't New Cross, but I grew up in like Catford and that. So.
Oh, that's up the road, yeah.
Yeah, it is close, isn't it? Like, we're only a bus away.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's partly why I wanted to talk to you as well, because, well, I like you, I think you're really funny, and also because we both sort of come from the same area, and I just think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
How are you finding
this? I didn't know you were so close.
Oh, did you not?
No, for some reason, you sound like a Shire's kid.
What's a Shire's kid? What does that mean?
Someone who comes from out the privilege and comes to London looking for work.
I'm not. Oh no. Thank you for still talking to me.
For a Shania's kid, she's really cool. Like, she's must have been here for a long time. Now I'm like, oh, so she's from here. That's why she's cool. Why does she sound like that?
Yeah.
That's the issue.
So I went from being like the coolest of the posh people to becoming like the most uncool of like the not posh people.
I mean, great, it depends on where you want to live, babes.
Yeah, I know. No, I went to I went to a state school. I went to a shout out to Sandhurst Junior School. It was
you survived Sandhurst?
Does Sandhurst have a reputation?
For being a bit...
What does that mean?
Don't go there if you don't want to lose your lunch money.
Oh, right, yeah. No, it was all right when I was there. Maybe it's got worse, I don't know.
Okay.
No. Yeah, no, it's fine.
Be honest. Are you still in Catford now?
Oh, okay. I'm in Hackney now. I'm like, well pretentious. Like, I...
Oh, babes.
I've got a cafetiere.
Oh, my God. What's that? You in your house?
Yeah, like in my room now. I'm looking at it. I've changed.
What? What? I bet you drink coffee outside the house now.
No. Well, sometimes, but not lately. I'm not one of those people. Like in Hackney, right, there are people who literally, like, I see them, like, even now during lockdown, like, they line up for about an hour to get a coffee. Yeah. Like, they're literally around the corner. And I was like, whoa, like, I'm not that committed.
Like I've seen people wake up, have a shower, get dressed to go and get a coffee.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. That's, you have to set yourself goals at the moment to do things, but I wouldn't do that.
No. My goal is getting through the day, babes.
Yeah, exactly. Same. But coffee helps that, I think. Like, I'm not a coffee snob. Like, I don't know anything about it.
Same.
Like, the coffee that I drink is, like, it's that one in that, like, miscellaneous jar from the newsagents. It's, like, the cheapest one.
No, but... I get the Nescafe latte that comes in a box, and it comes in a sachet. And you put it in the mug and you add hot water. I also, though, have a coffee machine that I only use when I'm not on the go.
I'm sorry, you're not allowed to criticise me if you've got a coffee machine, for God's sake.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah. What have you got, like a George Clooney, like, espresso machine or something?
No, it's just a Nescafe espresso machine. Like, it's a latte machine.
Oh, my God.
It sounds posh, but it really is $46.99 from Amazon. So it's just making me look more than what I am, really.
That is pretty cheap, you know. Apparently they do one in Aldi, I think, or Lidl, like one of those. They apparently were doing one at one point, and it was decent. See? I don't know. Yeah.
See? So you can look pretentious, but on like a really non-pretentious budget.
Yeah, that's my whole MO, to be honest with you. That's sort of what I do.